All right, good afternoon, everyone, or I guess it's still morning, isn't it? It's just about lunchtime, so I'm thinking about lunch. It is July 9th, time is 11:16 a.m., and we have gathered around at the Berean Mic guest speaker. Rebecca Hawk is our senior high school English teacher, and Rebecca brought to the Berean table a unique article, and Joey, if you'd introduce it, and then we want to hear what your perspective is, Rebecca.
All right, so this is USA Today was responding to the June 25th vote down in Texas on late-term abortion, where the Texas state was going to try to ban late-term abortions. And Wendy Davis, the Democrat, filibustered long enough to keep them from actually getting the vote in, so the vote did not count. And so the vote did not pass. They're actually going to vote again today to see if they can pass it a second time. And so USA Today asked the question, how will we kill babies with Down syndrome if we ban late-term abortions? And then this is a LifeNews.com article. They're going to comment on USA Today's pro-choice perspective. So it's by Casey Fiano. And it starts off, polling by Gallup and others has shown that most Americans oppose late-term abortion and support the banning of it in the second and third trimester. Texas's SB 220 week abortion ban has brought the issue of banning late-term abortions back into the national spotlight, and now pro-aborts are scrambling to find a way to make the abhorrent practice palatable to the public, with the media being more than complicit.
Now look at that title.
Yeah.
How will we kill babies with Down syndrome if we ban late-term abortions? They don't even say fetuses.
Nope.
Babies. I mean, this is. I mean, how do we even have a title like this, and then we call ourselves a civilized society?
Evolved, even.
Right. I mean, we're not like the pagans of the past. We're better than them, and this title suggests the idea that we don't need babies with Down syndrome being born into our. Into our society, and what do we do if we, in fact, miss it during the first trimester, and now we're in the second trimester, and it's against the law? Oh, my goodness, the babies, we have one in our church.
Absolutely.
Wow. So, Rebecca, what brought this to your attention to the point where you said, I want to go to the Berean Mic, and I want to talk about this? Why did you feel the need to really come forward on this?
Well, I've been following the Gosnell trials and the different things people have been saying about him and how, you know, he is a heinous criminal for the crimes that he committed. But what kept coming to my attention is that women decided to have these abortions. Nobody forced them. In fact, in an original article detailing the filibuster, Cecil Richards, the president of Planned Parenthood, claimed that if that bill had passed in Texas, that many women would be forced to resort to dangerous and unsafe measures. And my thinking and mentality is nobody's forcing anybody to get an abortion. They're deciding to do it of their own free will, for convenience sake, for fear, for other reasons. But nobody is forcing anybody to get an abortion that I know of.
You know, the same thing's happening today in North Carolina, not with the same type of bill, but similar.
Mm-hmm.
Our current state Congress and such is working on a provision whereby clinics have to have a certain amount of equipment present, and if the equipment is absent, then they can't perform abortions there. And of course, the opposition is saying that you're eliminating clinics. Now I want you to just think about that, the very word clinic. You go to a clinic because you're sick and you want to be made well. You know, why are we calling these facilities clinics?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand that. And then at the same time, the North Carolina, the House and the Senate are trying to make it the clinics have the same surgical procedures that a hospital has. So why would pro-choice people not want the clinics, quote-unquote, that they're sending their women to have the same standards that a hospital? Why wouldn't you want them to be able to get a safer abortion?
Right.
This doesn't even make sense.
How could you argue from a legitimate perspective as a pro-abortionist that we don't care about a clinic having certain equipment when you're always arguing that this is about protecting women. Yes. We don't want women to go backwards. We don't want women in the past. You white male Republicans are doing everything you can to put us back in the past. And yet this is a bill that says in order to do this, this safety kind of equipment must be present to save the life of the mother.
They don't have a woman that dies like in Philadelphia in the Gosnell case.
Or in Chicago it happened as well.
Right.
Okay.
That was one of the big issues with, again, this Texas. They were saying that all clinics were going to have to be graded as surgical centers, and all the doctors that worked there were going to be required to have admitting privileges at the surrounding hospitals. In other words, you know, let's up the par. Let's make sure that everybody's ready to go with any kind of emergency that might come about. And basically, you know, the Planned Parenthood and the pro-abortionists said, you'll shut us down. You'll shut everything down because they haven't been required to be accountable for years.
Right. It doesn't take the same amount of technical expertise to save a baby's life in surgery as it does to go in there and just hack around to the point at which you destroy something. Now, and they're the ones that are saying boldly and loudly, we don't want that level of expertise. I mean, I thought this was about the health and the welfare of the woman.
It's not. It's about money. They don't want their government funding and everything else to be shut down. And so that's why they're staying behind these clinics with very low health scores and different problems and not wanting any accountability.
What doctor who has privileges at the local hospital wants to work at an abortion clinic? Now just think about that. Mm-hmm. It's almost as though you have two kinds of doctors.
Sure.
Those that save lives and those that kill lives. Mm-hmm. Now, I know, oh my goodness, that statement evokes with it this emotion, but we don't get the sense from Gosnell that on the odd weeks he was in the hospital saving lives.
Yeah, it wasn't one of those doctors that did emergency room visits and things like that and had a time that he spent at the hospital.
No, it's almost as though the idea of calling them doctors is absurd.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, what Hippocratic oath did they take? Not to harm. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's a key line in there.
So what did you think, Rebecca, about this woman standing and filibustering? What were your thoughts on that? What as a woman?
I was actually really angry with her. I felt like, I mean, even you didn't have the president on his, I think his Twitter account saying, you know, stand with Wendy and all this. And everybody on that camp is lauding her as some kind of hero for saving women's rights. And I just really, I don't know, I really struggle with that because I don't believe that it's a woman's right to kill her baby. I just really don't think she didn't.
And you're a woman, right?
Just so I am. I just really struggle because I come back to the idea that women are the ones deciding to kill the babies. Yes, abortion, I guess I'm going to call them abortionists, not doctors, but, they are the means, by which you kill your baby,
but they're not murderers in the sense that they're out there hunting down these women, right?
Right. The women are coming to them. I think there's several, motivating factors for why women get abortions. And I think it's probably more, I don't know, what always strikes me when I come to the abortion table is where are all the women who've had abortions standing up and saying, abortion saved my life. I have a better life because I got an abortion when I was X years age, or I've had this many abortions. I really don't think that women who have had abortions are happy about it. No, I think it's something that they deeply regret, something that deeply psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually, even physically, affects them for the rest of their lives. I think that when you decide that I've had a child, and when you decide that the child inside you no longer needs to be alive, I mean, I think that has to do something to you and scar you for the rest of your life. I don't think you just get over that.
Well, Rebecca, in our congregation, sometimes a woman will have a miscarriage. And when that woman has a miscarriage, we reach out to that
Absolutely.
Woman and we minister to her. And the greater the number of weeks that the family has been anticipating this child coming into their lives, it in many regards makes it much more difficult to minister to them, or increases the degree to which we need to be praying that God would comfort and then. And so, on the one hand, think about the irony of ministering to women who have miscarriages and then women having abortions. What is the difference?
Well, it's very secretive. You don't go tell people, I'm going to go get an abortion. You just go do it. And sometimes the father doesn't even know that that's taking place. And I feel like that's also, you know, a wrong step, because you didn't make that child yourself. And, of course, you're going to have people come up and open the rape argument and say, well, what about that? Should she have to be punished? And I say, should the child have to be punished? Should he be killed because, you know, his father was this sadistic, sick person? And you could even go down the route of my husband having worked at the police department, when a woman accuses someone or says, hey, I've been raped, they do what's called a rape kit, and a morning after pill is standard. And they encourage every, you know, even if they think they've been raped, to take this pill. We're not even here discussing that. So I feel like at 20 weeks, you shouldn't all of a sudden decide, yeah, I need to end.
It shouldn't be an issue. The pro-abortion, the Guttmacher Institute, says that only 2% of women have late-term abortions because some sort of fetal abnormality. So it's only
2%.
2%. So ultimately, it's for reasons of convenience. That's the All right, I'm 25 weeks along now. Now all of a sudden I decide I don't want to have my baby because I don't have money. My boyfriend doesn't like it. I'm going to maybe not get a promotion in my job, so I'm going to go and kill the baby. Not because we discovered that the baby has organs growing outside of them. Not because we missed the Down syndrome in the first trimester in that test, and now the second trimester we figured out. That's not the reason. They're just doing it because of convenience.
And we have a radical segment of society that is insisting that basically all the way up until the day before birth, a woman has a right to terminate that pregnancy.
And two ladies, one is a liberal commentator for Fox News, the other lady, Peggy Noonan for ABC, both who are liberal, both said that Wendy Davis really isn't a hero. I mean, what she is doing, Europe is far more quote-unquote progressive than we are.
Sure.
And they're not even comfortable. Most European countries have to do it in the first 16 weeks. So we have this that's arguing for something that not even the liberalist people in the Western civilization are comfortable with. And so it's just really, it doesn't make
sense. So why in the world would the President of the United States tweet something like that? You know, why would he send that out, Rebecca? What, stand with her? Is the moral depravity in America that significant?
Well, it comes down, I think, a lot of times to selfishness. As far as these women are concerned, I'm going to decide my life. I'm going to make these choices no matter what happens. And so I can have an affair and get pregnant and take care of it all by myself, and my husband will never know. I can fool around when I'm 16, but I don't have to give up my career as a lawyer because I'm just going to terminate the pregnancy. They use the friendly term terminate. You know, they're not going to kill their baby. They're going to terminate a pregnancy. It's all very selfish. And I think from the White House down, that's how we live our lives. We're going to decide what we want to do. It doesn't have anything to do with, the baby at all. That's what I keep struggling with, is no one's concerned about the baby's rights. No one's concerned about the baby's right to life. It's all the woman's right.
Well, the article, the very title, Rebecca says they're not concerned about it because the question is, how are we going to kill them?
And if anybody's ever met or spent any time around Down syndrome children, we have one in our church that's been born in the last year, and then in Georgia we had Candace, and I had the privilege in the children's ministry working with two children that had Down syndrome, and they were wonderful, sweet kids. We have Kyle, who's an adult now with Down syndrome, and he's, you know, a wonderful, joyful, happy in church, loves to sing out in church.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that they're broken or that they can't be productive members of society or that they can't enjoy life is
Well, if you're a Christian on this issue and you are wavering on this, you're just wrong.
Exactly.
I mean, there's just no, it's not a middle ground area. to suggest that a Down syndrome baby is not made in the image of God any more than you're made in the image of God is utterly absurd, because we're all marred from the fall theologically. So the degree to which that marring is physical, or that marring is emotional or psychological, we're all marred from the fall.
And yet we're all fearfully and wonderfully made.
Simultaneously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So to suggest that there are certain abnormalities, I didn't pronounce that very well, but that are legitimate enough to murder a child.
They're just not worth it.
Well, and we can't bring them into society.
And that was the whole point in Planned Parenthood. Well, we have this group of people, African Americans, who are not productive of members of society right now. They're costing us a great amount of health care. They're not growing up in, you know, they're growing up in crime, criminals. They don't live a good life. They don't have a good quality of life. So rather than move into those communities and educate those women and teach them how to work and all that kind of, no, we'll just eliminate a race of people to the point of where it's 70% of abortions are African American abortions.
Right. And so you have an African American president tweeting, stand with this female in Texas who's filibustering to bring safety to the clinics.
Who, by the way, was a teenage mother.
Really?
She was a teenage mother. She had a child when she was a teenager. So Rick Perry said, you should know better. You of all people should know better. And she didn't like that, but he was right.
What we're dealing with is the president is doing nothing but appealing to his political base.
Agreed.
Right. That's all that it was all about.
He just wants the money to keep coming in, so when he finishes his presidency, he has a nice ability to create a nice super PAC and travel the country. And I mean, I'm guessing that's...
And he's going to do that. There's no doubt about that, Joey. He'll have influence for decades and decades and decades. He's a young man. He's healthy. He's articulate. He's intelligent.
Yes.
And the issue with these late-term abortions and banning it is, if you draw the line in the sand and you can get it for that, then the question becomes, why not the other trimester? And then once you get that, so they don't want to give anything, because they see that once you give way to something, then the question becomes, well, if we ban that trimester, then what about the other trimester? And if we ban that one, then why not the whole shebang?
Yeah.
And so they know that they're not going to give way to anything.
Yeah, I mean, let's even just assume, for the sake of argument, that we're not sure that life begins at conception. Now, we believe that it does begin at conception, but let's assume that it doesn't. Why even take the risk? If we're not sure, why are we even taking the lives of babies? If we're not sure. So right. we're not even erring on the side of the caution. The libertarian says, well, it's a woman's choice. But if you never get life, you don't even ever get the chance to have a choice. So there's no liberty in pursuit of happiness if there is no life.
Absolutely.
So why are we snuffing it out?
These are the issues that are not being discussed adequately in liberal Christian churches. Because remember now, we're not just talking to unbelievers.
A secularist.
Right.
Atheist.
No, Joey, we have lots of people who call themselves followers of Christ who waver on this issue all over the map.
And what they often say is a woman has the right to choose. And that's what they come to. I don't want to impede on the right of another woman. That's ultimately what they're...
So why are you not falling down on that, Rebecca? You're a woman. Why don't you, this is my, what's in my womb, this is mine, and I'll decide. Isn't that the perspective?
I think it is, but mine follows the biblical perspective in that the Bible says that you knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb. So, wait a minute, God knew that there was going to be a life before mom and dad ever even came together. And to me, that just seals the deal. I mean, it doesn't matter how that life came about and when that life came about. It's there and has every right to live as any other human being.
It would assume that if the baby's there and that something's wrong with the baby, that God is wrong, or that God makes a mistake, or that God didn't know what he was doing. But ultimately, the child is God's child. He's the one who created it. It's his to make the choice of whether it's going to make it out of the womb, not the mother's choice or the father's choice.
Joey, the degree to which, though, that you're in a church that has an upside-down theology on salvation and an upside down theology on who God is and his sovereignty could greatly impact how you think on these issues. Because if God's not sovereign in the election of those whom he has determined, as Ephesians 1 teaches us, then this is my child. I produce this child. Mm. And so God's not really in charge of this child. I'll decide what's happening here. But when you're frequently brought to the table of God's in charge, then suddenly you realize I'm just a vessel.
Exactly.
Carrying the Son of God. I'm Mary carrying the Son of God. And I'm thrilled to be chosen for this time, but I'm not the owner of the Son of God. Mm-mm. I don't have the right to abort the Son of God in the womb. I'm just a vessel. Let me submit to his will.
And we also, I think it's fair to say that there's another lady in Texas, a Republican, Connie Burton, and she is running against Wendy Davis for her Senate seat. And she is very pro-life, and she has really done a great job of organizing and setting up. And she's going to get some political gain out of it. I would suspect that she's probably going to win in Texas, depending how liberal her district is. Hmm. But she's taking a stand for him. And so it's not the idea that this is just the white Republican male population that's just trying to shove something down a woman's throat. It's not right. There are many people who are women who are pro-choice, and I think are pro-life. And I think the number is like over 50% of women are pro-life, or you know, even to the extent of 60% of women aren't okay with a late-term abortion.
Right. I shied away from this article, Rebecca, and the only reason we're doing this podcast is because you asked about it, because I've received emails that ask me to stop talking about abortion so much on the podcast.
Oh, really?
From ladies.
Probably because it bothers them.
Right. And to those ladies, we want to say to you,
it should bother you.
Yes. But there's also, to them that are forgiven, Rebecca, there's no condemnation.
Absolutely.
It's under the blood. If you had an abortion 20 years ago, like all sin, it's forgiven in Christ Jesus. We're not here at this table trying to elevate this sin above all other sin. But the difficulty with this sin versus other sins is, Joey, if I steal your cow or $20 from you, I can pay you $20 back.
Yeah.
I can go and buy another cow and give you that cow back. Once that baby is aborted, there is no restitution possible.
No.
There's nothing that can make things right. That's why this has to be elevated to the same level of murder. Because there's nothing we can do to make it right. Even all the financial compensation in the world doesn't bring my son back.
Right.
You know, so there are things that must be elevated above others. Not because we're saying some sin is worse than other sin in the sense of there's no forgiveness for it. We're saying that this terminating life is irrevocable. And as such, we want to speak to every young lady out there and say, please don't do this, because you can never reverse this decision.
And I think we'd also be fair to say, if you're a young lady and you're pregnant and you're trying to decide if you want to abort the baby or let the baby live, and come talk to us.
Right.
We'll help you. If that father doesn't want to part, there are plenty of men in the church who will help raise that young man.
Absolutely.
And help him become a guy. You don't have to do that. And there are people like that in our school and our church who are raising their children without the father being actively involved. And I think that's another thing we need to do a better job of, is saying, is if you made that mistake and you're going to have a child out of wedlock, we'll forgive you and we'll help you raise a godly child and help you not to make that mistake
again. Yeah, we don't want you following down the David and Bathsheba scenario, mm-hmm. where we have to go ahead and compound this. And now we've got to get rid of Uriah, and so we have this illegitimate sex that occurred, and now we've got to conduct a murder because we want to cover that first sin. You know, the reality is the Word of God is abundantly clear. Be sure your sin will
find you out. Yeah.
So we want to say to that person, please come counsel with us, and we will keep it private.
Absolutely. Well, I want to remind our listeners, too, that the church is at the forefront of supporting women in these situations. Multiple clinics and places have been available. I mean, we do drives where we collect diapers and formula and things, you don't think you can take care of a child, and financial reason is the reason why you don't think, you know, that you should have this baby, hey, we'll help out with that. And I would also say adoption. Give your baby the chance that maybe you didn't have. Maybe you didn't have a good parents, and now you're in this situation and you feel like there's no way out. Well, give your son, give your daughter the opportunity to know what a good mom and dad feels like, because there are plenty of couples out there who are completely infertile and can't do that.
They would love
to raise your child.
Be thrilled to.
And Wendy Davis should know better, because she's letting women, she's giving them a way out when she made it. She persevered.
Certainly.
She had the child, became a mother, went to college, went to Harvard as a lady who had a child in her teenage years. And yet, she's not being an example that you can make it. She's giving them the way out. And it's a shame.
That's really unfortunate, because the providence and the grace of God has allowed her to have a position of influence, and she will stand at the accountability before God for her failure to use that scenario. And I don't mean whether she's a Christian or not, because every knee's bowing and every tongue's confessing.
She said at the end of her filibuster, she said, it shows the determination and spirit of Texas women. And I would just add to that, it shows their determination of when they're going to decide, when I'm going to be a mom and when I'm going to be a murderer.
Yeah, it's not a lot of determination to walk into a clinic and 24 hours later not to have the baby anymore. I mean, that's really...
It's a cop-out.
It's a cop-out.
Right, there's just no other way around it. It is a cop-out. I don't want to deal with the responsibility of what my sin has now brought with it, and so I'm going to do my best to eliminate the follow-on responsibilities that has.
We're talking about 20 weeks. You feel I felt my baby move. I saw the little pictures. I mean, that was, a lot of times abortion clinics will try to tell teenagers and young women, it's just a blob of tissue. We're just going to remove the blob of tissue. That's all it is.
And that's why Wisconsin...
No, they're fully formed.
Yeah. Wisconsin passed a law that every woman has to see the ultrasound of her baby before they can abort. Because if you see a baby at 23 weeks or 19 weeks, and you see the head and the fingers...
Little fingers and the toes.
And, you know, at 25 weeks, the baby can push up. You can, you know, you everything's fully formed. Everything's fully developed. You can see the baby. You can, you know, mom can put her hand on the belly. Dad can put his hand on the belly, and the baby will kick the hand. You know, if you see that, you're probably, unless you're just a really callous person, not going to abort that baby.
No, you really have to get hardened like Gosnell.
Yeah. Sure.
To where any reasonable person with some conscience of some sorts just knows that's wrong. I mean, that's the same kind of person, Joey, that driving down the road will take an unnecessary chance and run into something else to miss a puppy on the road.
Yeah.
You know that kind of craziness, you know, or a squirrel running across the road, you know, and now swerving and what are you doing? Well, I don't want to hit that squirrel. And that's where we're at as a society. We're saving turtles and ridiculousness.
Whole forests for one owl or woodpecker.
Right. But we're allowing children who have fingers and
heartbeats. That's what gets me. Is when I heard my child's heartbeat. I mean, those who perform and then are involved in late-term abortions, they stop a heartbeat.
Here's another ironic thing: is the American Heart Association has billboards up that says a heartbeat is worth saving, and yet they support Planned Parenthood. It's asinine. It's idiotic.
That is
stupid. It doesn't make any sense. How could you put that on your billboard and then support people who extinguish heartbeats?
The reality is, Joe, you got to get out of the womb. I mean, you got to get out of the womb because you don't have any rights until you're out of that womb. I mean, you are an endangered species in America until you get out of that womb, especially if you're African American. And I know that seems to be racial to say that, but I'm not intending it to be racial. I'm trying to bring to the African-American community attention because the president's not doing it, and their preachers, in great part, are not doing it. The fact that no other ethnicity is aborting babies at a greater rate per capita.
Yeah, true.
And so, you know, you have to get out, and then you have rights.
Yeah. But then even then, well, we could go all into, depending on where you're born in the African-American community, if you can even make it past 18 years old with the like, Chicago and places like that.
Here's the question. Why is attacking or harming a pregnant woman so heinous, but aborting the baby is not?
You know, Rebecca, what you're doing is you're identifying the number of double standards mm-hmm. that we have in our society. And the greater degree to which we walk away from the law of God is the greater degree that we'll have a propensity to have more and more double standards. And our teenagers and our young people can see those double standards. And the greater degree to which they see those double standards is the degree to which they want to have nothing to do with Christianity, because they determine that we're hypocrites. Mm-hmm. And they're looking for authenticity. That is consistency.
Transparency.
There's another a girl whose parents were, I guess we call them theological liberals, went to a liberal Christian church. You know, so taught her salvation. A woman has a right to choose. And she said when she came out of the closet and told her parents that she was pro-life because their position was hypocrisy, they were extremely upset with her.
Hmm.
Now, they want her to make her own, be informed and make her own decision. She has plenty of choices. But the fact that she was going to make that choice and have a baby that she would, that they wanted her to abort, and that she was pro-life, they were angry with her about it. And that's the hypocrisy that's going on in that.
You can make your choices as long as those choices fall within these parameters.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, once again, listeners, we're doing our very best to bring to you not just the news, because you can get that anywhere, but we want to bring thought-provoking analysis and commentary of the news. And we really appreciate Rebecca coming in and reminding us of a woman's perspective on this issue. And Rebecca, how did having a child impact your feelings towards this? I mean, I'm sure that as a follower of Christ, you've been pro-life for a long time, but did you become more adamant about it or more aware of it? Or how did becoming pregnant and delivering a child into the womb impact this for you?
I think definitely I'm even more than I ever was. Just the miracle of life and experiencing her growth in my womb and watching, because technology is just incredible, so that you can, you can get 3D ultrasounds and see these amazing pictures, and to, the anticipation of the life, of course, being an English teacher, I read to her before she was ever, ever born. And
imagine what she was exposed to.
I know.
That's scary because, my son's had her as a teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Well, she was there in the classroom with me while we were, reading Shakespeare and all these wonderful things.
Let's bring up another point. Liberals and these progressives will tell you, reach your child in the womb, but yet they're not alive. It's unbelievable.
Right.
Think about the irony of that. Right. What are you reading to? You don't read to a steak. You don't read to a glob of tissue. Right. You don't read to beef.
No.
Right. Why are you reading? Because somehow there's this perception
mm-hmm.
that cognitive skills are beginning to develop.
Absolutely.
And you want this amazing connection being made so that later you can choose to abort it.
So the choice is really not whether it's a child or not. The choice is whether I want it to be a child.
Exactly. It's
and
whether...
That's what it is. So if I decide that it's okay to read to the baby because it's going to be born, then that's a real live baby in my tummy. But if I don't want her, if I don't want to be there, then it's just a blob of tissue.
Right. Joey, which goes back to our discussion about theology. If I'm constantly submitting to the authority of God in my life, then it's not me that's deciding. It's Him that's deciding. And He's already decided on this issue. He's not wavering. He's already decided. Every single life is created by Him and Him alone.
In His image. And so we as standard bearers have that to uphold. The dignity of human life is our responsibility. And so, like we said, I would encourage any woman who's considering or, just wondering or just confused, talk, bring it to us. Let us help you. Many women in this church would be more than happy to come alongside. That's one of the reasons I'm the member of this church, is that it's family. I don't have to face being a mom and being stressed out alone. I can talk to my friend Kim, I can talk to my friend Megan and say, okay, I'm having a really rough day, and they'll encourage me.
Right.
We'll get our kids together. In fact, after this, I'm heading over to my friend Megan's house, and we're going to fellowship and plan a youth event while our kids play. It's just, you don't need to bow to the lie that Satan is going to tell you that you're alone and this is the only way out, and that this is the easy way out, because it may seem easy now, but it has incredible repercussions for you for the rest of your life.
The church has to become a hospital for the wounded. Mm-hmm. You know,
we can't shoot our wounded.
That's right. And the church has to become a city of refuge. You know, a place where those that are struggling can feel their ability to come and receive healing. And so while we will follow Christ's admonition and say, go and sin no more, we will not shun you.
Absolutely.
And that is the balance that we want to live out. Well, what are your comments? What are your thoughts? Thanks for listening. Rebecca, thanks for coming in the office and hanging out with us. And we pray that this has been helpful to you.